Finally, we talked to a real brainiac, a graduate student in public policy at Harvard. That she happened to be a movie star, totally incidental.
I was hardly aware of it. Ashley Judd joined us just off campus in Boston in October of 2009.
I am so nervous to be here. I am so nervous. I was comparing how nervous I am now to how nervous I wasn't when I addressed the General Assembly of the United Nations.
Yeah.
Like, honestly.
Really?
Yes. And I think then, because I was speaking truth to power in a way that felt very, spiritual, and I was determined, but oh my God, that's Carl Castle.
So, let's be honest. Isn't it a cliche, actresses at the height of their career walking away to study public policy at the Kennedy School? I mean, come on.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say to that.
Well, you can tell me. Well, why did you do it? I'm genuinely curious.
I did it because I really want to do my part to help make the world a better place. And I really admire what they're doing at the Kennedy School, where we have a mandate to address and solve, we're quite optimistic, the most intractable problems in the world.
But isn't the tradition in Hollywood for stars such as yourself to be involved in causes but without any expertise or actual interest? I mean, you're really bucking the trend here, is what I'm saying. Have you found it difficult to adjust from life as a successful working actor to a student?
No, because acting is what I do. It's not who I am. Mm-hmm. And the poverty and the equity in public health work, I've been doing it for a pretty long time, just more quietly.
Right.
So the transition was fairly easy for me, except for the 20-page paper and style guide and citations.
Right. Yeah. Was it hard to adjust to that? I mean, all of a sudden you're doing papers again.
Oh,
it must have been a while.
God. Well, once I got past the great existential dilemma of three-ring, spiral. Spiral, three-ring.
And what's dorm life like for you?
A student. Oh, my gosh, the pizza.
Really?
It's so funny. There's something about being a student demands that diet. It's not
Way.
It's not their age.
It's just something about the intellectual activity. It burns those calories. And you need to. Do you sit up late at night and watch your own movies on cable? I mean.
Well, actually, one of my professors, the great Jacqueline Bava, is a great scholar on the issue of the benefits of citizenship and why children themselves are not able to transmit those protections to their parents if they're citizens and their parents are not. Very complex stuff. And I'm like, did you watch Crossing Over? Did you watch my movie?
This is a serious question. Was it a disadvantage in Hollywood being smart? Because that is just not what people expect and maybe want from people in your position.
I think that there are lots and lots of smart people in Hollywood. I really do. I mean, Salma's incredibly bright, for example.
I'm sorry, who?
Salma Hayek. You
might Salma
have heard
Hayek.
Of her.
Yes, I'm sorry.
She's kind of gorgeous.
I tend to call her Miss Hayek when I'm discussing her. So I miss that.
How you didn't get that job on Entertainment Tonight, I'll never know.
Isn't it crazy? I'll go with that. I mean, I've known some people in Hollywood, and I think they would be intimidated by someone like you if they knew that you were smarter than they were.
I was a lot of fun early on. I stayed at home, and I read The Russians and listened to Beethoven. I'm not real popular out there. But that's what I did, and it served me well. And I enjoyed the life I had doing that and not getting STDs.
Well, Ashley Judd, we have asked you here to play a game we're calling...
That prize was rightfully mine! Mine!
This week, as we said, the Swedish Academy began to award the Nobel Prizes, starting the annual ritual of backbiting, second-guessing, and bitter envy. We're going to ask you three questions about the Nobel Prizes. Through history, we took them from metalfloss.com. Get two right, you'll win something from one of our listeners. Even Albert Einstein never won. Carl's voice on their home answering machine. Carl, who is student Ashley Judd playing for?
The student is playing for Doug Hanna from Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Ready? Okay. Robert Lucas won the 1995 Nobel Memorial Prize in Economics. He may be the unluckiest Nobel winner ever. Why? A, he died from a sudden allergic reaction to the fish at the awards banquet. B, in his divorce settlement years earlier, he had promised to give half of his Nobel Prize money to his ex if he won it by 1995. Or C, journalists looking into his background after he won the prize find out he had shoplifted $3,000 worth of underwear.
I'm actually going to go with B, because in my mind it was my first. It was my first instinct.
And you're right. That's what happened. He got divorced in 1987, and part of the agreement was that if he ever won the Nobel Prize, he would split the money, but only if he won by 1995. So
he won
in 1995. It cost him $500,000.
You know what I love about that?
What?
He's the kind of person that in drafting a divorce agreement would say, you know, if I win the Nobel Prize, you get to have half of it. Yeah. What kind of person says that?
Hey, I said the same thing when I was divorced.
What kind of person says that?
Or maybe you've got him wrong, though. Maybe he's like, tell you what, I won't give you the house or the car, but I'll give you half my Nobel Prize money. And then he's like, ha-ha, she went for it. All right. Next question. Johannes Fibiger. He won the award in medicine in 1926. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. He may not have been the best choice, ultimately, for a Nobel Prize. Why not? A, his great scientific theory for which he won turned out to be entirely wrong. B, he was a pseudonym made up by some other scientists as a joke. Or C, he had Tourette's syndrome, not called that then, and his acceptance speech, sadly unrecorded, caused some to flee the room.
What year was it?
This was 1926.
I'll go with B.
You're going to go with B. He was a pseudonym made up by some other scientists?
The reason I'm going with that is...
Please.
At that time, they wouldn't necessarily have been able to communicate with one another all that well. And so folks might not have known that it was a pseudonym.
That's extremely plausible.
May not be correct.
But it's plausible. And as we learned at Harvard, that's what counts. It was, in fact, A. He won for his groundbreaking theory that parasites cause cancer, which, as it turns out, they don't.
Lots of other things,
yeah,
about cancer.
You think he was disappointed. Imagine how the parasites felt. They were like, dude. All right, this is exciting, though. You remember from Hollywood, you always want to come down to an exciting third act. We have done that, because if you get this last one correct, you will win. Anyone can nominate anyone for the Nobel Prizes, especially the Nobel Peace Prize, and partisans often go to great lengths to make their case, such as when which of these happened just recently. A, an Italian singer wrote and recorded the song Silvio Forever to get Silvio Berlusconi the Peace Prize. He's not so much spreading peace but love, but be that as it may. B, when some fans of Martha Stewart redesigned the Nobel Prize trophy using macaroni and rubber cement just the way she would. Or C, when proponents of Joseph Biden prepared a book of haiku composed entirely of his own utterances.
Oh, my God. Who comes up with this stuff?
It just gets slipped under our door before showtime.
I was wondering. I'll go with A.
You're going to go with A, the Italian singer who wrote and recorded the song Sylvia Forever? The audience agrees, and they're all right. It's true.
Yay!
It's A. Here, ladies and gentlemen. For your listening pleasure, Loriana Lana singing Silvio Forever.
Oh my gosh.
Silvio Forever. Silvio Realta. Silvio per sempre.
Sounds like the Irish Rover.
Everybody! Carl, how did Ashley Judd do on this exam?
Ashley had two correct answers, Peter, so she wins for Doug Hanna. Congratulations.
Well done. Ashley Judd, the talented, successful actor in movies, who's also a student at Harvard Kennedy School of Government. Ashley Judd, thank you so much
for
being here. That's it for our admittedly unhelpful advice show this week. Support for NPR comes from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, helping NPR advance journalistic excellence in the digital age. The William T. Grant Foundation, supporting research to improve the lives of young people, online at wtgrantfoundation.org. And the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, working to enhance public understanding of science and technology in the modern world. Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is a production of NPR and Chicago Public Radio in association with Urgent Haircut Productions. Doug Berman, executive producer. BJ Liederman composed our theme. Our program is produced by Ian Chillog, Emily Ecton, and Eva Walchover. Our technical directors are Robert Newhouse and Lorna White. The senior producer of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me is Michael Danforth. Thanks to Carl Castle. Thanks to all of our panelists, all our guests you heard, and thanks to all of you for listening. I am Peter Sagal, and we'll see you next week. This is NPR.